Well, I'm very excited to be joined by Mohammed Ibrahim, the renowned researcher, Egyptologist, and tour guide who will be hosting our Megalithic Marvels of Egypt tour this May. Mohammed, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Dee. It's also always a pleasure to be in your show.
There are some rare vintage photos of this mysterious pyramidal structure, Mohammed, that you call the Egypt Area 51. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
I think during 1960 or close 65, 62, 63, the Egyptian government made a small unit, army unit, or let's say like a defense, and they surrounded the area. And the place is considered as an army area from that time. So it is not accessible. There is no photos, there is no permissions. All the photos we have before 1960. So we don't have any update of the shape of the place. There is a very interesting and what I can call it mystical granite box in the base of that room, that giant room in the lower level of the ground. The box is about 100 tons or more. Why I say more? Because as I told you, we only have all the photos and it doesn't show us like detailed information or good details. Okay. There is a very strange shape of a lid from granite with a kind of two knobs from the, not from the sides, but from the big body. It looks like also like two bases of electricity, like what we see in the electric towers, those towers in the desert side. So those big heads, they put the wire on something similar on that lid of the granite box. Okay, so everything connected with this temple or this pyramid, we call it Nazlet al-Aryan, or Zawiyat al-Aryan, Zawiyat al-Aryan pyramid. Everything connected with this pyramid is very strange and unique. Okay, but the most strange thing is why they don't let us have permissions to go and to inspect and to see what is going on. There is something else that maybe this pyramid is the one who got all the fame. But there is another one, by the way, close to this pyramid. And that second one maybe still have the upper structure. Okay. And I think also it has the same type of titles leading to the same meaning. But the second pyramid still have the upper structure. But not many people, maybe like 10, 20 people all over the world know about this pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, the photo...
I recently have this idea, this opinion, this information.
Yeah, this photo is absolutely incredible. Again, this is a very old photo. I don't know if this is from the 30s or 40s, but it shows this man underground. So this is subterranean, standing on this massive megalithic granite box with a cutout. It has to be at least 100 tons, but the most amazing part is this cylindrical opening on the top, this oval-shaped lid opening with a lip. And then there's that lid with these knobs. Any idea what that lid was for?
No, no ideas. But my guessing, it is a way to link wires, okay? And these wires will be linked with something else. So it must be devices were there one day and were taken, of course.
And do you call
or
it...
Or other pieces would fit, okay, with the opposite design and would fit above this design.
And do you call it the Area 51 just because it's so off limits and you can't see it anymore? Is that the biggest reason why?
Yeah, something like this. Because, yes, you cannot approach the area like the same Area 51. Okay, so many, I will not call it phenomenons, but let's say we have so many things unexplained. And the idea that this pyramid may be connected with that title, Stargate, because we didn't find any other pyramid had the same title. So this is the only title, and maybe the other pyramid too, I just mentioned, they have the title Stargate. Maybe the other pyramids too, but we didn't find yet anything can prove this meaning or this site.
You grew up in the shadow of the Great Pyramids, right? I mean, you grew up there in Egypt. And tell us, because you're not just a tour guide, which that is a huge part of what you are, but a lot of people don't realize you're an actual studied Egyptologist, and not just anybody can become an Egyptologist. You have to devote yourself to years of study. Tell us just a little bit about that really quick. And how did you become one of the rare Egyptologists who also believes that a megalithic civilization predated the dynastic Egyptians and built the pyramids?
Yes, as you said, that I grew up, yes, in the shadow, but not the Great Pyramid, Saqqara, the shadow of Saqqara. So imagine a young boy like me when I used to open the window in our kitchen. I was able to see Saqqara Pyramid from our kitchen. Every morning, look from the window, I see Saqqara Pyramid. Our house was four floors. It was like a small building, okay, separate apartments. So we lived in the third apartment. So when I used to go to the top roof, I could see the entire of Saqqara, the pyramids of Dahshur, could see Abu Sir, and from a distance I could see Giza pyramids. So if I like walk for 30 or 40 minutes, I would go to Memphis Museum. The trip to Saqqara was like a piece of cake. It was something very easy. I could do it in any time, any day during the week. Our school, prep school and primary school, they used to take us to field trips to Saqqara, to Dahshur. Okay, so that was my first time to get attracted to these sites and to get attracted to that job, to become a tour guide. Okay, when I finished high school and I went to the university, Faculty of Tourism and Hotels. Yeah, I know the name looks more related to tourism, okay? But there is a section for tour guides. And in this division, we studied everything about Egypt. And I say it correctly, Egypt. I didn't say ancient Egypt because we studied ancient Egypt. We studied Greek-Roman Egypt. We studied Coptic Egypt, Islamic Egypt. We studied all the Islamic dynasties who ruled Egypt from 700 AD, or exactly 642 AD, till the Ottoman Empire, 1500 AD. We studied all the battles, all the invasions, all the cultures and civilizations, till 1950, 1965. Okay? So I can tell you, I studied, me and my colleagues, all the Egyptian history from thousands of years ago, or BC, till almost 2000 AD. That's why, and not only history, but also religion, art, language, literature. Okay, we studied the also social life, we studied medicine, not in deep details, of course, but we started to have like a piece of fruit from each tree. That gave me the chance to read more, but I was able to understand what kind of reading I need, what kind of books I can buy. Because as an example, they give us a small hint about the prehistoric Egyptians. Okay. When I graduated, I started to find these books about the early history of ancient Egypt. And I found that this part is magical, and this part can give us so many information, so many hidden information about ancient Egypt, and many people didn't pay attention to the prehistoric times because they expected that the prehistory of Egypt is just for primitive people. It was primitive civilization, but I found the opposite. That it seemed that there was at the beginning I thought one civilization, But now I can say many advanced civilizations before what we call it ancient Egypt, or what we can call it now the dynastic Egyptians, which started 3000 BC, ended almost 300 BC.
So one of the highlights of our tour is going to be our private after-hours, two-hour-long visit inside the Great Pyramid of Giza. And I was absolutely blown away last year on our private tour inside the Great Pyramid. And I want to set this up and ask you, Muhammad, it's crazy because mainstream history or archaeology or Egyptology tells us that, again, the pyramids were built simply as tombs by the dynastic Egyptians. Well, it's one thing to read that, but once you go in the pyramid, you realize this thing is not even really functional for humans to be climbing through. I could barely ascend and descend some of those 300-foot passageways with the modern-day wooden stairs and railings they've put in. How in the world would an ancient Egyptian funeral procession have walked through the pyramids with relics and statues and ornaments that steep? You can't do it. You would have slidden down on those smooth granite surfaces. So that was one thing that jumped out to me, is this thing does not even seem functional to be used as a tomb. What are your thoughts and theories regarding the Great Pyramid and what it might have been in ages past?
Look, when I debate with my colleagues, I always use very simple logic and telling them, okay, if we agree that the king is going to build a pyramid to be his tomb, how long the pyramid will take in your opinion, asking my colleague. So the estimate time, they think about 20 years, because this at the time was mentioned in the history book of Herodotus, the Greek traveler who came to Egypt. So I tell them, okay, 20 years, that is very risky order or plan, because the king can die in any year after giving the order of the pyramid to be built. So in this case, where the king is going to be buried. And that pyramid will not be completed if the king died today and the pyramid is 50%. So no way to finish the 50% in a short time, in a week or so. Okay. And the second king is going to start his new pyramid, and the third and the fourth. So this is what I call it the impossible plan. Okay. And it is now very easy to debunk in the story that the pyramid was built to be a tomb. But we can approve the second story, or if we can fix this story, that the pyramid was used as a tomb. That makes more sense, okay? And the pyramid, and you know, I used to say that the pyramid was used as a tomb. It was a kind of the king was trying to bring or to put himself in a fancy place, in a pyramid, and it's like a fancy burial. No, my latest opinions are completely different now. I think that the king wanted to receive the energy of the pyramid. The king wanted to cross through portals. The king wanted to be to have the chance to maybe come back to the first life, or to use the energy of the pyramid to cross. Or it is a kind of a spiritual aspect. It is not just a silly king wanted to be buried in that famous structure. Am I guessing now? No. So I believe that they understood that the pyramid is a generator of energy. And when we say generator of energy, not necessarily this limited option only. I can tell you that the pyramid was proved to have hundreds of functions, not just one or two, many, many functions. And I believe every time we dig and search deeper, we will find more functions to the pyramid. So one of the functions of the pyramid is a place to collect the cosmic waves and the, what we call it, the Moan waves. And that kind of Moan waves, the one they use it now to create pictures to the interior of the pyramid. okay, X-ray and other types of rays couldn't go through and give us a good picture of the interior of the pyramid. So I believe those kings who maybe buried themselves inside the pyramid, it was a way to get a ticket to the afterlife, but not the regular afterlife. No, it was a way to explore or to give the chance to their maybe body or soul to explore other dimensions, because that what they used to hear from the priest when the priest was explaining the energy and the power of the pearl. So that is my idea about the, and this is what we feel when we do that private visit, okay? And the beauty of the private visit is you go in a time there is nobody else, okay? And that's why, and I believe you, of course, and all my clients in my tours in the last 20 years had felt the same. When we go to Giza Plateau, second or third day of the trip, in what we call it the public visit, they enjoy Giza Plateau, they enjoy the stories and everything. But when we go again at the end of the tour, they see different Giza Plateau. They feel different Giza Plateau. They enjoy different atmosphere, different environment, because there are nobody there except our group, either small or big group. And that is for 2 hours. That is a privilege. Is not easy for almost 90 or 95% of the visitors of Egypt.
Yeah, on this tour, you're going to receive exclusive access to see and touch the megalithic marvels of Egypt up close, learn about the hidden history of Egypt from Muhammad, meet new friends in a friendly and inclusive environment. And Muhammad, pulling from his 20-plus years of guiding tours, I can say firsthand, puts a real personal touch on these tours, and he's going to take us where most tourists, again, won't take you, to eat the best local food. We're going to stay at some of the nicest hotels, and most importantly, we're going to see the most mesmerizing megalithic parts of each site. And like he said, from cruising down the Nile River, man, what an experience that is, drinking coffee on the Nile with a gentle breeze blowing over your face, to soaring in a hot air balloon over the Luxor sunrise, or riding camels alongside the Giza Pyramid. Our Egypt adventure will be the trip of a lifetime. We hope that you will join us, and don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions at all. You can go to info@megalithicmarvels.com. We hope you'll enjoy us, and we'll see you soon. Thanks, Muhammad.
You're welcome, Dee.
Megalithic Marvels.